You are about to hear an audio recording from one of the breakout seminars conducted at the MDN Discipleship Bootcamp on April 1st, 2017. The name of this seminar is Sex and the City, Wallet, Woman, and the Wide World of Sports. And our presenter is Pastor Craig Holiday. Since 2003, Pastor Craig has been on staff at the Brooklyn Tabernacle. He is also an active volunteer for Fellowship of Christian Athletes, a national sports ministry. He is a requested speaker for men's conferences, provides chapel service and Bible studies for professional, college, and high school sports programs within the New York City area. He also sits on a number of community boards and is involved in various community-based organizations which allow him the opportunity to impact others in his community for Christ. Pastor Craig lives in Brooklyn, New York, with his wife Vanessa of 17 years. And now enjoy this presentation by Pastor Craig Holiday.
She doesn't forget. She just wants to make sure you remember. She knows, trust me. She knows the date, she knows the time and everything else. It's just like when people will say to me, so when's your wife's birthday? I know my wife's birthday, you know, it's May 28th. Why? Because I know we got married in May. So I tie those two together. I can even tell, she's really impressed by me because I say, we got engaged on November 26, 1998, Thanksgiving Day. And when I say stuff like that, she's like, wow, he's really, and I get some points, I get some, trust me, this brother's been married a long time. This pastor here, he knows. You gotta definitely store up some money in the bank. And so so when you do something wrong, you have some withdrawal power. It's like, okay, you can withdraw a little. I got a big mouth, so I'm gonna just go as this. Oh, I am hooked up. Oh, okay. I thought it was just my voice. So you know what, let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for just these few minutes, Lord, that I can sit and come together with my brothers and encourage them, oh God, the way you have seen fit for us to encourage, Lord. We know, Father, that it's a challenge for us, oh God, when it comes to the wallet, when it comes to the woman, when it comes to the wide world of sports, because that's the topic. And so, God, I just pray right now, Lord, that you would just minister to our hearts, oh God, starting with the speaker, starting with me, Lord, because I need this more than anyone else, oh God, because we can all fall into the trap, oh God. And so, Father, bless our time, bless our talk, oh God. Let your spirit just so fill our hearts in such a way, Lord, that we have a heart to receive and ear to hear what you want to say to each and every one of us personally, oh God, so that your name will be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so, as you know, the topic they gave me was Sex in the City. How many of you have ever watched that show? I've never watched it. So when they gave it to me, I was like, wow, Sex in the City. Okay, but it's about the wallet, it's about the woman, and it's about the wide world of sports. And so it's kind of like what I said up there. Right now, we're living in a day and time where males, I say males because we're male by birth, men by choice. The choices we make every day dictate and determine what type of men we become. But we're living in a day and age right now where too many males have decided that they don't want to grow up. They don't want to grow up. They don't want to be responsible. They don't, and this is creating chaos. This is creating chaos in our homes, in our marriages, in our communities, in our churches. And so I just want to read an excerpt from you from an author. He's a secular psychologist. He's long and gone, passed away. His name is Dan Colley, and he wrote a book called The Peter Pan Syndrome, Men Who Won't Grow Up. Listen to this. Hundreds of thousands of boys are refusing to become men. Though they have reached adult age, they are unable to face adult feelings and responsibilities. Out of touch with their true emotions, afraid to depend on those closest to them, self-centered and narcissistic, they hide behind a mask of normalcy while feeling empty and lonely inside. Like the fairy tale hero, They resort to pretenses, forced gaiety, and magical thinking in an effort to hide their failure from themselves and others. Too many of us, and I say us, too many of us have decided not to grow up, not to be the men that God has called us to be, not to address the issues in our lives, the challenges that we face every day. And so what's happening is that by masking those things, what we do is sometimes we get caught up in the wallet, right? We get caught up in the wallet. That can be a number of things for a number of people on different levels. The wallet can be our careers. The wallet could be, if I have enough letters behind my name, then that will validate who I am. A lot of us believe that if we make more money, that will validate who I am. I'm a real man if I make a lot of money. The other thing is sometimes we feel that if we run in the right circles, that will validate us as well, who I know, who I run with. But the problem with that is this. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says this, and I'll paraphrase it. Solomon literally says that God has created us with eternity in our hearts. A void. He's created us with a void. And the problem with us today is because right now, so many of us are trying to fill that void that only God can fill. So we'll use the wallet. Listen to what this says. This says that too many of us believe the more money, the higher we climb the corporate ladder or advance in the workplace, we will bring happiness and remove the feelings of disappointment, discouragement, and despair. Too many of us are walking around with disappointment, disappointed with our lives, disappointed in how it turned out. We're in despair. We're looking around trying to find answers, and we can't find the answers. And then we get discouraged. Why? Because we chase this thing that's so elusive to us. The more we chase it, the more disappointed we become by it. Because why? We're trying to fill a void that only God can fill. And so we chase after this wallet. We chase after this thing. You know, Proverbs says this in Proverbs 23:4-5. And I love the way Eugene Peterson gives it in the Message. He says, don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Restrain yourself. I love that. He says, restrain yourself. Listen, when you are pursuing something in such a way that you're willing to give up everything else, that's an out of balance desire for something. That shows a lack of restraint, self-control. So he says, restrain yourself. Riches disappear in the blink of an eye. Wealth sprouts wings and flies off into the wild blue yonder. Most people, when they make a lot of money, they have restless nights. Why? Because they're afraid they're going to lose it. But the reality is that you really don't have it. It has you. That's the reality is. And so no matter how big your wallet is, at some point in time, you know, I'm quite sure all those people that got taken by Bernie Madoff, if you remember that, they thought, wow, you know what? I got it good. But then they got swindled out of all that money. And unfortunately, a lot of those folks had to go back to work because they were depending on that. They weren't depending on the Lord. But that was the answer, having a lot of money, having a large bank account. But only God can fill that void. Some of us have checked out altogether and decided to snuggle with pornography. Excuse me. Then it comes to the woman, lost my place. So if we're not satisfied with what the wallet has given us, we'll drift off and we'll think, if I get this woman or these women, this will satisfy and fill the void. So we start chasing women, bouncing from woman to woman. What I call that is missionary dating. Christian men shouldn't be missionary dating. We should be intentional and purposeful about who we date and how we date, with a game plan on how we want this thing to end up. But too many of us as Christian men, we missionary date. And let me say something to you. I'm not sure where you're at right now, if you're in a relationship, if you're not, if you're married or whatever. There's a lot of wolf out there in sheep's clothing. I got to be honest with you. There are so many men who are coming in the church that are telling our sisters that, well, if you really want to marry me, then you're asleep with me. I've heard that before. No. This, listen, a lot of you guys may go here, another church. You know, when you go to a, when you're involved in a ministry that's pretty large as CCC or any other ministry, you hear a lot of stuff. And I'm almost at the place, unfortunately, that nothing surprises me now when I hear it. It doesn't surprise me. It doesn't take me back anymore. I'm just like, wow. My heart grieves. Some of us have already checked out. We realize that those relationships are not going to satisfy us. So we say, you know what? Listen, let me do this. I'll check out and then I'll get hooked on pornography. I'll start surfing slowly but surely. Whether it's through social media sites, Facebook, Instagram, whether it's actually just clicking on and searching in the Google sites and everything else, some of us have checked out and we're so consumed by our lust for women is that it's left the physical being of a woman and we're gone to just watching videos, watching sex acts. Listen to what I got, some statistics. And these statistics came from Covenant Eyes. If you're familiar with Covenant Eyes is a software that you can download if someone is struggling with pornography and you become their administrator. Kind of like the guy that gets a report on what websites they're hitting. And so I actually happen to be the administrator for a number of guys who have struggled in this area. They came to a place where they said, hey, you know what, Pastor Craig, I'm really struggling here. I need some accountability in my life. And you know what? What can we do? Let's do Covenant Eyes. And now it's gotten to the place where they put it on mobile devices, iPads, and everything else. But listen to this. U.S., $3 billion a year on porn in the U.S. Not 3 million. We spend $3 billion a year on pornography in the U.S. That's big money. That's big money. 64% of Christian men view porn at least once a month. I'm not talking about 64% of secular men. I'm talking about Christian men. This is going on in the church. Regular church attendees are 26% less likely to look at porn. That means that those 64%, they're probably guys who are straddling the fence, coming in and out of church whenever they feel like it, have no really commitment to going to church and being involved in church. And so they're struggling with pornography. They're visiting websites. Some guys more than others. Here's a porn test for you. I grabbed this offline. This is a porn test. And so you don't have to answer this, but I want you to think about these questions. I want you to think about these questions. I use porn to restore the tranquility of my feelings. Interesting. I felt I had to watch more and more porn to feel satisfied. I unsuccessfully tried to reduce the amount of porn I watch. I became stressed when something prevented me from watching porn. Watching porn got rid of my negative feelings. I became agitated when I was unable to watch porn, or I continually plan when to watch porn. You scout out. You wait. No one's around. My wife goes to sleep. I go in the living room. Hey, babe, I'm going in the living room to go read. And you're in there surfing on your phone. You're surfing on your iPad. You're surfing on the computer. Or, you know what? You're just so out of control that you just walk around and surf with it. Guys, can I say something to you? For all the married guys in here, raise your hands again. Your wife should have access to your phones. Your wife should have access to your phone. She should know your passwords. That's called accountability. Because in a marriage, there is dual accountability. My wife has access and the password to all my phone, my iPad, my computer, and everything. I also have men that I've given permission to speak into my life who have access to those things as well. Why? Because even if I'm tempted, that always sits in the back of my mind that I would be found out if I tried to do something that's not right. And that alone gets me to a place where, hey, Craig, you don't want to mess this up. Because, guys, I don't care if my name is Pastor Craig, my brother right here, Pastor Lloyd, you know, from Teen Challenge. Listen, we are all susceptible to falling to the prey of pornography. One click, two clicks, get intrigued, start looking. You don't have to go searching for it. It'll come searching for you. See how many pop-ups you get on your phone, on your computer. And so this is a serious thing. And so sometimes, listen to what Galatians says. In the Message, Eugene Peterson, I like what he says. He says, my counsel is this. Live freely, animated, and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsion of selfishness. For there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with a free spirit. Just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness. These two ways of life are antithetical so that you cannot live at times one way and at one time another. You know, I think Spurgeon put it really well. He says, the ways of a man follows him home. The ways of a man follows him home. Charles Spurgeon. That's Ephesians. Galatians, excuse me. Galatians 6 verses 16 through 18. Spurgeon says, the ways of a man follows him home. Why? Because, guys, believe me, you can't operate one way outside your home and don't think it's going to creep inside your home. Whether you're married, whether you're single, if you are getting involved in things that you know that grieves the Holy Spirit outside your home, it's going to become a part of your home life. It's going to seep into your home. I don't care what you do. Okay, you can't live both ways. It's no way. You can't create a dividing line. It will happen. But then when that doesn't fill us up, and we still don't want to grow up, and we still want to act like boys, what we do is we consume ourselves with the wide world of sports. And what a great timing. Right now, we got the Final Four going on, right? College basketball, Final Four going on. But how many of us have already consumed ourselves with so much sports that we've actually checked out of our marriages? We will prefer watching a game, playing a game, doing other things, being boyish consumers. You know what boyish consumers is this. It's being more concerned about our comforts, our pleasures, and our hobbies. Some of us have become boyish consumers. Why? Because we are so fixated on just dealing with our own comforts, our own pleasures, and our own hobbies that we've checked out of our marriages. Our wives are longing for our attention, longing to have date night. You know, a lot of times I do a lot of marriage counseling at our church, and my wife and I have a marriage small group, and we also work with the premarital classes. And whenever I'm sitting with a couple, especially a married couple, and they're having challenges, the first thing I say to them is this. Not only how's your prayer life, how's your Bible study, but I also say to them, when's the last time you guys gone out on a date? And they look at me like, what are you talking about? No. Actually, like, going out to dinner, turn off your cell phone, sat there, looked in each other's eyes, and just talked. Have real talk. And they go, wow, we haven't done that. I'm going to challenge each and every man that's in here, and even the young men, the guys who are not married. When you were recruiting that woman to sign her letter of intent to play for your team, right? I use a lot of sports vernacular because I played sports my whole life. You were going hard. You were going to the movies. You were going out to dinner. You were doing everything. Why did you stop recruiting her once you got married? Once she signed that letter of intent and said, I wanted to play for your university, why did you start saying, you know what? I got her now. Why did you become complacent? We should never become complacent when it comes to that. We should always continue to date our wives. For you guys who are not married, if you're in a relationship right now, continue to date even if you're after you get married. Continue to go out with her. Continue to do those things. There's a statistic out there that just blew me away as I was doing some research. How many guys are into video games? How many guys? Really? Seriously? I'm not into video games. I can see there's a couple of guys that's around my age. I'm 52 going on 53. And so I grew up in the era where you played outside. You didn't play video games. I think the first video game that came out when I was a kid was like Atari. And most of you guys don't even know what Atari is, right? Pong, right. They're Pong, right? But listen to this. As I was doing some research, do you know that the U.S. has spent, in 2015, $23.5 billion on video games? $23.5 billion. U.S. dollars, that's not pesos, U.S. dollars on video games. 63% of U.S. households, at least one person plays video games on an average of 3 hours per week. One person. Listen to this. 47% of gamers are between the ages of 18 and 49. Is that scary? 47%. So now when I looked at these percentages, those below 18, they're up in the 40-something percentile. And then when you get over 49, the number is very small. So what does that tell you? Men aren't being responsible. If you're between the ages of 18 and 49, and you're playing that much video game, you're playing games that much, what are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your life? An average of 11 hours a week is spent on playing with others online or in person. I can't imagine spending 11 hours playing a video game a week. I'm trying to find hours. I'm saying, God, there has to be more than 24 hours in a day. Give me some more time. It's just not enough time. Where do you find 11 hours on average? That's on average. So that means there's guys out there that all they do is play video games. Now, I'm not knocking video games, but I believe what the English writer Thoreau says. He says, give necessary time to necessary things. Necessary time to necessary things. Video games are not necessary. I like to play as well. Trust me. I just don't play video games. That's just not my thing. I didn't grow up with that. Here's the thing, guys. We can either continue to chase after the wallet, we can either continue to chase after the woman, or we can continue to consume ourselves with the wide world of sports. But here's where it all starts. Here's where it all starts. It starts with God. Remember when I quoted that verse, Ecclesiastes 11:3? He's put eternity in our hearts, that void. It all starts with God. It all starts with God, spending quiet moments in God's word, in his presence. Like the psalmist David said, though I hide your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Well, if you don't have his word in your heart, how can you not sin against them? Bible says, study the word to show yourself approved. Right? And so if we're not spending quiet time with the Lord, how do we grow up and become the men that God has called us to be? If we're not looking at the very image of Christ, if we're not studying the life of Christ, and if we're calling ourselves Christians, his disciples, but we're not walking in his footsteps, how can I emulate someone I don't know? I'm always reminded of what, if you look at Matthew 16, and this just came to mind, Matthew 16, Jesus ask the disciples a very important question. He says, hey, who do they say I am? He's looking with his disciples. Now, he's with the 12. He says, who do they say I am? He says, well, You know what? Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're just another prophet. But then he says this. Well, who do you say I am? Why? Because their answer should be different than they. Why? Because these are the guys that's hanging out with him. When Jesus says, who do you say I am? Are you hanging with Jesus? Are you growing with Jesus? Because your answer shouldn't be, well, you know what? I think you're just another prophet. You're a good guy. No, that question speaks to the very identity of who Christ is. And if we want to be more like Christ, we have to get into his word. So we don't fall into these traps, these lures. We don't have these out of balance desires for these things that the world tries to tell us is better than what God has for us. Here's another thing. Too many of us as men, we live isolated lives. Hey, listen, I always tell the guys, if you've ever been to BT, I always tell the guys at BT, you don't have to teach a man how to be isolated. We all have PhDs in that. We know how to isolate ourselves. We hit a rough patch, things aren't going our way, and the next thing you know, we're off. You don't see a guy for a while, and you go, hey, where's so-and-so? He's not returning my calls. You know, we deal with that a lot in our small groups. We got about 250 guys in small groups. And so what happens is the facilitators, I'll say to them, hey, you know what? I haven't seen this brother in a while. Where's he at? You know what? We've been texting him. You know what? Do a drive-by. Go to his house. Now you got to go to the guy's house. Why? Because he's probably gotten himself in a place where he shouldn't be, and now he's isolating himself. He's detaching himself. And how many of us know, if Peter says that the devil is like a ferocious lion, if you've ever studied the habits of lions or big game cats, what they want to do is isolate you from the pack and then pounce on you. And so too many of us are living isolated lives. We haven't given other men permission to speak into our lives. Proverbs 27 says, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpens another. So all of us should have Pauls in our lives and Barnabases in our lives. What do I mean by that? That might be a term that some of you have never heard before. Well, Pauls are some people who are just spiritually more astute than you, who you can be accountable to. I have several Pauls in my life. I don't get to spend a lot of time with them, but I get to meet with them for breakfast or lunch or call them on the phone and just tell them what's going on in my life, what I've been struggling with, what I've been challenged with, what decisions I have to make pertaining to ministry or whatever. Then I have Barnabases in my life. How many guys in here in ICB who go here? I know Rich and stuff like that. So one of the Barnabases in my life is your leader, Honorio. Honorio and I get together for lunch or breakfast at least once a month. He's one of the Barnabases in my life. Why? Because Honorio and I can sit down, look each other in the eye, and tell each other what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. He's another men's leader. He knows what men are going through. I know what men are going through. And we know the struggles. And so we sit there and we're real with each other. And we talk and we encourage one another. Wherever we're struggling with and whatever else is out there. And so we need to have Barnabases in our lives. And what happens is, you know what? God start bringing Timothys into our lives. Why? Because those Pauls are pouring into our lives. Those Barnabases are sharpening us, right? Because they're creating the friction. And now there's other young men who sees that we have qualities in our lives that they don't have. Now they want to sit down and talk with you. And that's how we stop this chain of boys staying boys. We start having boys becoming men. Because right now we don't have that. I understand that there's been an epidemic of fatherlessness. But here's the deal. We all made a decision to be here today. We all know at least one person that should be in this room or at this conference. Why didn't we go after them? Why didn't we go after them? Why didn't we encourage them? We might have given them a call and said, you know what? Forget it. You know what? The guy is not responsive. I'm just going to leave him alone. Leave him to his own demise. Really? Thank God he never said that to me. Because where would I be if Jesus said, you know what, I'm going to leave Craig to his own demise? And that's how we start to overcome these males who still are operating like males will become men. You know, they call it delayed adolescence now. That quote from Dan Cowley, you know when that guy wrote this book? He's deceased now. He wrote that book in 1983. That quote was from 1983. He saw that there was an epidemic that was going on where men, males, weren't becoming men. And that's been the case for the last several decades. That's why this world is in such chaos. It's because we still have overgrown adolescents. Overgrown adolescents. I'll leave you with this thought, guys. I'll leave you with this thought. Final thought. Now, I can't take credit for this. I got this from Chuck Swindoll, who was quoting from another pastor, and he never gave the source. But I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to this and take it to heart. Boys play house, men get married. Boys play house, men get married. Boys make babies, men rear children. Boys won't raise their own children, men will raise someone else's. Boys seek to simply survive their woman's disrespect. Men seek to understand her with their heart. Boys are content with female companions. Men welcome intimacy. Boys seek popularity. Men win respect. Boys cast blame. Men own responsibility. Boys invent excuses for their failures. Men produce strategies for success. Boys look for someone else to take care of them. Men look for someone to take care of. Boys are narcissistic and self-indulged. Men are selfless and sacrificial. Boys play at work and work at play, but men are diligent at work and they play when they rest. We want to be men. We want to be kingdom-minded men, men who fall under the authoritative rule of God's word. We want to be men who stand for righteousness and truth, men who won't back down. While the rest of this world has decided to walk through with a limp, we said, no, we want to get healed. We want to get strong. We want to stand on God's word and move forward in such a way that we begin to have an impact on the world and the world is not having an impact on us. That's what we want, guys. That's the goal. What Scott and his team does, Coach Scott, I still call him Coach Scott. They call him Pastor Scott. I know him going back to Coach Scott. What MDN does, they're trying to make boys, males become men. Because right now we're dealing with a society of overgrown boys. Just look around you. Just look in your neighborhood. You open your door. Just look on TV. See what guys are doing. Just look into politics. Just look at the landscape of the world. I'm not going to get into political things. But what I am saying is, we see that we have too many boys running things. We need to start getting some men in place. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this talk, this opportunity. And God, I pray for each and every man that's within the sound of my voice. I pray, God, that we would make that decision, if we have not already done so, Lord, to live a life, Lord, that is pleasing to you, Lord, that we would submit and commit to a process, Lord, that you want to take us through so that we might be molded and shaped into the men that you've called us to be, oh God. Father, let us not no longer give in to chasing the wallet, Lord, the things of this world, oh God, whether it's career, whether it's money, whether it's status, whether it's prestige. Help us not to chase those things, Lord, because those things are fleeting. They're here today, gone tomorrow, oh God. Father, I pray, Lord, if there's any brother within the sound of my voice, Lord, that is thinks he's going to find happiness in a woman or women, oh God, or pornography or whatever might be out there, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would set the captives free, oh God, that you would break every stronghold, every chain that might be holding a brother here today, oh God. And Father, that they would find liberty and freedom in you, oh God, freedom in your word. Let your spirit dwell in their hearts, oh God. And Lord, I pray, Father, for us who may have been at that place, Lord, where we've gotten so consumed, oh God, we've become boyish consumers, where we're just concerned about our comforts, our pleasures, and our hobbies, oh God, where we've checked out of life, oh God. We've checked out of life in such a way, Lord, that we no longer invest in our marriages. We no longer invest in our kids. We no longer invest in our communities, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would break that mindset. And that we would have a heart and a passion for the things of you. God, we thank you that we can be men. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you gave us the perfect example of a man of steel, but also a man who can be soft as velvet. Thank you, Jesus, for your example. You are truly the example of godly manliness. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would bless the rest of this day. Bless every speaker that goes up for the rest of the day, oh God. Bless our conversation. Bless our interaction with one another, oh God. Bless, let your spirit lead the leadership team. Everything that goes on, the worship and everything that goes on from this day, from this moment forward, oh God. Let your name be glorified in it. In Jesus' mighty and precious name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hey, guys, can I just say one more thing? I don't even think this thing was working. Okay, but that's cool. I got a big mouth. My family always tells me that. God just impressed this on my heart. This might be for someone. I don't know who it's for. But 8 weeks ago, I had knee surgery, right? You probably wouldn't know it unless I told you. I had knee surgery. I had a torn meniscus, ligament damage in my left knee. And I dealt with it for 15 months. Why? Because I was taught how to manage pain, being an athlete, which is not good. But as I went through this process and talked with my surgeon and everything else, great team. My surgeon happens to be, I know Richie tells me about his surgeon, my surgeon happens to be, and not that he helps these guys at all, the primary care physician for the Knicks. The orthopedic surgeon for the Knicks, Dr. Ainsworth Allen. And so everyone I talked to about this surgery, because I had some apprehension, I had never had surgery before, said to me, hey, Craig, you know what? You can have the best surgeon in the world, but here's the deal. You gotta do the rehab. You gotta stick to the rehab. That's the important thing. The surgery can go well, but if you don't stick to that rehab, man, it'll go south. I said, okay. So I'm standing there one day, and I'm talking to a brother in the church, and I'm explaining this to them, and there's this sister sitting there. And she says, you know what, Pastor Craig? You're so right. Who's ever telling you that is so right. Be mindful. She said, I had the same surgery that you're getting ready to have 5 years ago, and I didn't complete the rehab. I quit on it, and I'm still dealing with the same problem that I was dealing with 5 years ago, and now they can't correct it. Why do I say that? I say that to you, brothers, that wherever you are right now, it's a process. Mm-hmm. It's a process. At the foot of the cross, we're all on equal footing. We're all in different places. It's a process. I will pray and hope that you will submit and commit to the process that Christ has for each and every one of you, because he has a process to take us all through. And sometimes it gets painful. Let me tell you, rehab, I started the week after my surgery. It was painful, but they knew that apathy would set in. And so when it hurts, just continue to trust God through the process. Yeah. Continue to submit and commit to the process. Don't give up. It's always too soon to give up on Jesus. It's always too soon to give up on Jesus. I don't know who that's for. You might be at just, don't give up. Amen. Press forward. Continue to move forward in how God has called you to move forward. And if you're feeling weak, get some other men around you that can hold your arms up and help you going. God bless you.
One, two, three.
Yes.
Fellas, he just said it all. He just came up and surmised what I was going to say. Any of the brothers that come to this church, CCC, know this one thing. It's a process. A.R. Bernard is the king of it's a process. Okay, the other thing, Pastor Bernard, is decisive. Anyone go to his church? Say it out loud. And strength. Decisive, consistent, and strong. And then you'll become mature. Decisive. Be decisive about, this is what we teach at MDN. You can't go, you said it before, you can't go through this alone, okay? We're in this together. You have to be decisive on grabbing a couple of other brothers. We call it a SEAL team. To strengthen, encourage, admonish, and love. I've been doing this for 5 years with five guys right now. We get together Monday mornings, consistently. If you don't show up, you have better have called, or your brothers will come to your door, okay? It's about loving one another, encouraging them. Not admonish them like this, and Pastor Bobby Lloyd will, if you guys want to, come over to this table later. But he'll tell you, it's not about accountability. Pastor Craig said it. We're the greatest hiders in the world. It's about being able to speak to another brother and say, hey, listen, bro, for 20 years I've had a masturbation problem, but I gave it over to God. But I need your help. I need your prayers. I need you in my corner every single day. And that's what you need. We need brothers in our life. If you don't have them, you're running alone, you know. Pastor A.R. Bernard and also Pastor Scott's mentor, Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole, said this. It's about your heart, stupid. That's what he tells the men. It's your heart. He wants your heart. He doesn't want this, that, or the other. He wants your heart. So make sure you get with some other brothers. Before you leave, get some guys. We have a text thing that goes on. Texts go out in the morning. How you doing? What's going on? What kind of week you have? Good week, bad week? You know, and you have to be in the game. You know, Proverbs 18:1, we say it every week on Thursdays and Mondays at MDN. An isolated man is a dangerous man. Why? Because he refuses all good, sound counsel. Sound counsel. Get good counsel. Get with your pastor. Get with your men's leader. But definitely get with somebody. If you leave here today, you guys were the, you know, the smart ones. You showed up. You have your hearts opened up. Get with somebody. Don't leave here without a number. Hey, bro, I need you. I need you praying for me. I need to be praying for you. I need you. Just ask me. Hey, what's going on? What's going on with the pornography? How you doing with that? How you doing with masturbation? You know, tough questions. Tough questions. No man wants to speak about that. But you know what, bro? When I stand up at the altar later on, there's going to be over 150 guys coming up. And as that comes up, each and every guy, every single time, it's either pornography, masturbation, lust. We're men. Kid yourself not. We're eyes driven. You know, he said it the other time. Your wife goes to bed, you go to bed. You can lie to someone else. I've been around teaching men for a while now. That's your time to go to bed too. You know, you have to be decisive. I love that teaching from A.R. Bernard because it's real. You have to make a decision. Just like you had to make a decision for Christ, you have to make a decision to stay in the game. You have to make that decision. So I'd just like to give one more hand to Pastor Craig. It was excellent.
This has been a production of Men's Discipleship Network. We'd like to hear from you. Tell us how this message has encouraged you in your walk with God by emailing us at coach@mensdiscipleshipnetwork.com. For more information about the ministry and the curriculum and resources we provide, visit us online at www.mensdiscipleshipnetwork.com.